Hello there, and welcome to the Thinking Fellows podcast. My name is Caleb. We are part of the 1517 podcast network. We are a network of 13 shows now. You can check it out with 1517.org. This is a special episode that was recorded at the Here We Still Stand 2018 conference with pastors Paul Koch and Bob Hiller on their new project called The Craft of Preaching. It's a fantastic episode. This also happens to be the first time we have a sponsored episode of the show. And this episode is brought to you by The Great Commission Design. The Great Commission Design is bringing totally new web services to churches. They are building websites from scratch so that pastors and church leaders who don't specialize in web design don't have to worry about taking this task on for themselves. Pricing is extremely reasonable, starting at just $25 a month for congregations of 120 or less. They'll even send out a photographer to your sanctuary to take pictures of your service. The best part is they maintain your website for you. Do you need an update, new content uploaded, or say new pictures? Great Commission Design is there to help. They are just a call or email away. Again, that's as little as $25 a month for congregations of 120 or less. If you're a Thinking Fellows listener, you can get 3 months for free when you sign up for a year of service. Go to greatcommissiondesign.com/thinkingfellows. Again, that's greatcommissiondesign.com/thinkingfellows. And that will also be linked in the show notes. Thanks for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoy the conversation. Hello there, and welcome to the Thinking Fellows podcast. My name is Caleb, and today I am joined by Dr. Scott Keith and pastors Bob Hiller and Paul Koch. Pastor Koch is on the You Are Forgiven radio. I think Bob's going to be on the new version of You Are Forgiven radio.
And Ringside.
And Ringside.
Ringside.
So that brings us to the 1517 podcast network. So yeah, Paul is a part of at least two of the podcasts, and sometimes you're on the Thinking Fellows, so three of the podcasts here. Again, that's You Are Forgiven Radio, Ringside. And now you guys have started work on a new project at 1517 called The Craft of Preaching, which ties into, I think, one of the main elements of 1517, but now more directly where we have, on the Thinking Fellows, done many episodes on preaching. Paul, you've been part of, I think, almost every single episode we've done on preaching.
Awesome.
Yeah, I like to call Paul not a guest on the show. He's an itinerant host.
Yeah,
that's good.
And then
sort of like a circuit rider of old.
I think we had a lot of different articles on preaching, some that have they affect people happily and then make some other people out there mad.
Yes, yeah.
And,
yes, they do.
So now you guys have taken this idea that this, you know, theme we've had at 1517 and run with it. Mm-hmm. And now you've come up with a project that's actually directed at helping congregations by helping their pastor.
Yes. I have a story that I think Paul can follow up on because I only have the first part of the story. Right. Okay. So it was last year at Here We Still Stand, which was a great conference, and in a lot of ways, and, you know, seeing how great this year has been makes you realize that last year was phenomenal, but that this year is like, what the heck?
I think this year's better.
What's next year going to be?
Yeah, that's right.
Crazy.
Right.
It's not staffing, that's for sure.
Yeah. But the, I remember that it was after the main sort of event on Friday night. I was out in the hallway arguing with Paul's wife, Cindy.
You do that a lot, actually.
As we are occasionally like apt to do.
The core of your relationship.
And her big question to me was, this is all great, but now what?
Yeah.
You know, this is all great. They get this here. They get it on the podcast. Mm-hmm. They get it on the blogs. They maybe get it in the books. But now what? What do you do with them then? And I'm like, well, I don't know. It's not my job to know what to do with them then. And there was sort of a conviction there that it maybe is my job, right? And I was really struggling with this idea. I'm like, we're doing enough here, man. What else are you trying to lay on us? I'm like, I can't go to churches and fix the preaching, for Pete's sake. Mm. I'm like, we're doing our best by giving the people the gospel, by giving them the goods, by giving them tools, by giving them resources.
Education.
What the heck else can we do? And I was so frustrated about this and just felt like I probably, in my own sin, felt like I wasn't getting through to her, but I'm sure the feeling was mutual, that we were just not getting through to one another. And I don't know if it was the next day or a couple days later, I called Paul and I'm like, I don't know what to do. I can't stop thinking about this. Like, I can't stop thinking about this idea that as much as I think we're doing, that somebody as close to us like Cindy doesn't think it's enough. And I'm like, I literally remember saying, Paul, it's not like I can fix preaching in the churches. And Paul didn't say much. You know, sometimes that happens.
it's rare.
It's incredible.
Yeah. And I remember we just kind of like, you know, he said, yeah, what you're saying makes sense. Blah, blah, blah. And we just kind of like, conversation fizzled out and we hung up. And then that's where your story.
Yeah. So it was a conversation that stuck with me all night, really. And I kept thinking about it. And I had. I had thought for years, I've been a critic, we'll say, of preaching in the church, and that's at times actually an easy thing to be. And I've often struggled with, you know, that's it's not enough just to be a critic. Like, how can we do this? Can there be a way in which we can actually impact preaching? I mean, we're not a seminary. We're not. You know, I'm a parish pastor. What can I do? But it was weird. I didn't sleep a whole lot that night. Kept thinking about it and called Scott back the next day and basically just said, "Why not?"
Which is a very Paul answer, by the way.
why can't we actually?
What's stopping you?
Isn't that like that? That's like the taco commercial, right? Why not both?
That's right. So it was. So I talked through a few basic ideas with Scott, and then I said, let's work on this. He was excited. I was excited. And sometimes that's all you need. You have incredible resources that 1517 has and is willing to dedicate to see these sorts of things through. So you bring the excitement and the kind of the vision, if you will. So then I met with Scott, and we talked about it. I talked about the idea of doing a website built ground up with the preacher, the parish pastor in mind. So not the seminary prof, not really lay people, to be honest. Most of, which was a hard sell when you're dealing with a, it wasn't a hard sell, but you're dealing with an organization.
Well, conceptually, it narrows the audience.
Yes, right. And you're dealing with an organization you're asking to back and support it. That is made up primarily of lay people.
Right.
And you're basically saying, yeah, this isn't for you directly, right? I mean, the idea is this benefits you because it benefits your pastor. And so that was kind of the sell. I talked to Bob then early on and said, if we're going to try to do this, I want, you know, I'd like you to team up with me.
Yep.
Bob and I got to know each other when I came out to California. And we have a lot of very similar takes on preaching and our desires and our critiques as well. And so, we formulated a real plan and pitched it to 1517. And they really, without much hesitation, said, let's see this happen.
Yeah, excited about it.
It was very quick.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. We're trying to, the craftofpreaching.com is designed from the ground up. The hope is that this will be, we'll continue to build it, but it's a resource, the kind of premier destination for a preacher when they're starting their work week. It's built around their week with text resources, essays to help them think about preaching. So that's the beginning of it. That's where we've started.
Yeah.
So for those who are not familiar with two things. One, Bob Hiller is the other person here. He's a pastor of Community Lutheran Church in Escondido. Valley Center.
No, Escondido.
Escondido, yeah. California, which is San Diego area.
Yes.
And just, you know, just so that I can make their heads so big that they can't fit out the double doors here.
That's always good.
Bob will be on the San Diego version of You Are Forgiven Radio very shortly. For people always ask me, well, what's taking so long? There's, you know, we have serious professionals that
it's a lot of quality control goes
work here, like, and they don't as much as I want somebody to like start tomorrow.
Right.
They tell me no until we can get all the right equipment in place and get it off. So that's what we're waiting on
right
there. But we, you know, in Southern California, I'll sometimes complain about not being able to hear good preaching. And the only reason that is because even though we may only be 60 miles away from one another, that 60 miles can take 2.5 hours.
Right. Know,
yeah.
Because of where we live and geography and all that. But we're lucky in Southern California in a sense because I think we have some of the absolute best preachers in the LCMS in Southern California. And I think most of them are on You Are Forgiven Radio. I mean, it's just, or will be, right? And I'm not just talking about their ability with rhetoric and convincing words. I'm talking about their singular focus on preaching Christ's death and resurrection for you, the sinner in the pew, and the courage to get up and say it,
right?
To say that in the name of Christ, your sins are forgiven here and now. And that's what makes you a good preacher. The fact that you guys are both very rhetorically good in the pulpit, that's the gravy on the pot roast. But the pot roast is there. Yeah. So the other thing I'd say is that I had, you know, this is hard for me because we're not a university, we're not a seminary, we're not a church, we're not even affiliated officially with any church. I say it all the time that though most of the people who write for and influence 1517 are themselves LCMS Lutherans, we are not connected to the LCMS or any other denominational body.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the things sometimes, I mean, I've always felt like we don't need to necessarily clarify it all the time, but we do get people who say, well, you guys are the Concordia Irvine guys. We do not represent the university. We do not represent the synod. In fact, even if you took it as a sample size of like professors at any of the universities, it's very little.
But there is historical precedence for this in Lutheranism, for this idea that an idea catches fire and starts getting out to the people, and then a group of people go out to the parishes and sort of hear what's going on in the pulpits and say, wow, this really isn't matching what's going on over here. Like the message in the pulpits is different from that the gospel that the people are hearing from other sources. And then people saying, hey, maybe we can do something about it. And that something that they do is it's education, right? Mm-hmm. It's teaching. It's not, because you're right, critique and condemnation only take you so far.
Right.
You know, saying, I can analyze the problem, here it is, and I can condemn you for that problem.
Right.
That only takes you so far. If the person doesn't have the tools to do anything with your critique, then what?
Right.
One of the things we were talking about just outside the doors here is once you're out of the seminary, pastors, you go to a pastor's conference or you get involved with some parachurch organization or whatever we want to call it. And what we generally don't talk about is the preaching. Like the preaching is the topic that is sort of off limits. Every pastor assumes they're doing it well. Every parishioner loves what their pastor's doing. At least they tell them that all the time. So the pastors start to feel better about themselves. But they might not actually be doing their job. They might not actually be preaching Christ. And so what we want to be able to do is, I mean, I do think there is a place for healthy criticism and healthy critique and for guys to be able to say in a safe place, what am I doing wrong? What can I do better? And I think guys are afraid to have the conversation and we want to help the conversation get going.
Yeah, that's one of the things. I get a lot of contact emails. I think I, out of the people at 1517, I have some of the most contact with like people who receive it. And one of the things that happens after we talk about preaching or talk about the necessity of proclaiming the gospel is I worry because I've had people in the past too where all of a sudden they're now recognizing that they don't have it. And now instead of leaving them with hope, I've kind of, you know, ruined their home church for them or something like that. And that's brutal because the goal is
That's real.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't tell you how many people that have come up to me and said, thanks.
Yeah.
You know, and they're saying thanks, you know, but they're also saying thanks.
And it's really horrible because the show, like the purpose of this show is in no way to try to drive people out of their churches.
No, I would like to drive them into the church where they're hearing the gospel and receiving the sacraments, getting the goods.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
So, and I mean, to transition back, this is why something like The Craft of Preaching as another project at 1517 as a podcast here is great because it's a solution that isn't, you never want to be like, well, leave your church. I mean, that's horrible.
Right.
And so it's actually something when somebody's like, what can I say to my pastor? You can say, yeah. Well, you don't have to tell him what to do, but you can show him there are tools.
There's a great interview. Mockingbird had Rosenblatt out once, and then a Southern Anglican guy whose name I'm not going to be able to remember right now. They spoke at the same conference. And Dr. Rosenblatt was talking about, listen, you've got to find a church where you preach the gospel. You've got to find a place where you're hearing Christ. And if you're not finding it, maybe you need to leave. And I hope I don't get in trouble for this one, but Allison, C. Fitzsimmons, Allison, is that?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
And he said, you know, before you go, I had a gentleman come up to me one Sunday and correct me as a preacher. And he came up to me and he said, I'm not going to leave, but you need to start talking to me about my forgiveness. You need to start telling me about Christ because I'm not hearing it from you at all. And he said it was the most devastating thing that ever happened to him and the best thing that ever happened to his preaching. And one of the great things that happened to the church was that someone decided to stay but love the pastor enough to talk to him about preaching Christ. And that's kind of a blow to the ego, but if we could kind of take that blow a little bit as preachers, it might be a healthy thing for us. It might be a healthy thing for our congregations. Our congregations know they need Christ.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
When I think Rod prefaces those things where in his experience, he's done all options, right? When he talks about you need to find a church,
right.
He's also talking about you've already confronted this guy and he tells you, you don't know what you're talking about. Go kick Rod.
That's right. Yeah.
We, Bob, you and I today saw the impact, when somebody has left, right, and then hasn't had a home. I mean, today you commune somebody, and commune me at the same time, but commune somebody who hasn't felt like they could go somewhere where they were hearing the gospel and or were they someplace that was not hostile to them. And
they were trying. I mean, they were working at it.
Yeah. And they weren't getting the goods. And when they finally get it, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like... like the heavens open and the angels are singing, right?
And they
can't control even what's happening to them in that moment.
Yep.
I mean, this guy is weeping and he's weeping with joy so much so that his little daughter is is worried about him. And this is the most joy this man has felt in years.
Yep.
In this moment, and
he's been asking for somebody to give him the gospel for 3 years and hasn't gotten it.
Right.
They wouldn't give it to him.
Right.
Asked him to leave. I mean, goodness.
So pastors out there, I guess I'm saying if somebody does come and say that to you, I mean, maybe just think about slowing down your reaction a little bit. Taking a breath, you know, taking a week to think about it before you give them an answer and ponder if they're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think with preaching, kind of go back to what Bob said earlier, is that it is that big, it's that one thing that is just simply not spoken about. I mean, people who are like lay folks listening to this would be shocked that, you know, the sort of essential task of being a pastor is preaching, and yet that is the one thing that they're not having conferences on. They're not going to continuing education on. They're not really even buying books on. They'll buy books on, you know, leadership techniques or things like that far before they'll buy anything on, you know, new ideas in homiletical reflection or something like that. You know what I mean?
I just went to a pastor's conference.
Yeah.
My first time.
And?
I mean, on the whole, it was great. You know, it was... I don't always enjoy being around pastors, and it was fine. It was good. You know, there was a lot of camaraderie there. There was a lot of brotherhood there. There was a lot of, I'd say even some, you know, repairing relationships and building relationships. It was wonderful, but the lectures weren't about that.
No, right.
They were about things that are much more abstract than that. And number one, and number two, I suspected that they were even the lectures, as good as they were, and they were quite good. Were more serious than they normally are too. That it's that the common fare at these things is usually more how big is your parking lot and what have you applied to the growth metrics of your recent blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Now this wasn't that at all. I mean, the lectures weren't this at all. They were they were very substantial.
Yeah, and again, like the lectures quite often are fine. But they're still not on. They're not about proclamation most of the time, and it's really strange. So people know Bob and I are not assuming that we've got this figured out. Therefore, we're going to tell everyone else how to do.
No, you're not. You're not.
In fact, we don't even contribute.
You're not providing the content.
Yeah, we're not providing the content at all.
You're
what
simply
we're doing is
organizing.
Yeah, we're trying to curate good, high quality, fresh material for the parish pastor.
It's not like
them.
Paul and Bob are sitting down and writing. Right. Yeah, your preaching sucks. Here's how to do it better.
That's right.
So why don't you guys actually explain the structure of the website and the tools so that people understand why that is or how it is?
Okay, so you want me to go for it?
Yeah.
So there's three sort of aspects to the site right now. We've got weekly lectionary notes. So if you
can you put, for our listeners, tell them what a lectionary is.
It's going to do that. Yeah. Thanks. So forgive the language. There's a church calendar and sort of assigned readings for every Sunday from the church calendar, one from the Gospels, one from the epistles of Paul or John, one of the epistles, and one from the Old Testament. We have preaching notes on each of those readings. We then have a few essays that are contributed by various professors in our seminaries and colleges. Actually, John Bombaro, who's written some stuff for 1517, he contributed a really good essay. And then lastly, we're going to have a roundtable discussion, and I'll let you talk about that because that's really your deal.
Yeah, I meet with some pastors on Tuesdays, and we translate, work through the texts, and we have just conversations around the table about kind of how we might preach it or what we're thinking of.
Can you just do me a favor and tell the story of how you started that?
How I
started doing that, and then how you brought it to California.
Yeah, how we got
I was basically forced into it. Well, that's not right. But when I was installed as a pastor that Sunday, it was a Sunday afternoon. Tim Dragomir was his name. He hands me his business card.
Older guy?
Yeah, a little older. But he said, "Hey, we're meeting here on Tuesday at this time." It was his church. He said, "Be there. Bring your Greek and Hebrew." And it was, I didn't know these guys. I showed up. There was just a handful. There's four of us all together. And we just did that every week, every single week. And so I was there for 8 years, and that was normal. So, and I knew that wasn't normal for everybody. Like, that was normal for me. It was just part of my routine to have people to talk through the text about, to bounce ideas off of, those kind of things. And it was crucial to my carrying out of my vocation. I mean, essentially, when I took the call to come to California, one of the big fears was leaving those guys because that group had changed over the years. By the time I left, the other guys had all taken calls. I was the old guy, and they
you're the one handing the card, saying Tuesday, be there.
Exactly. Guys would come in, and I'd say, "Show up. This is where we're meeting." And when I came to California, I obviously didn't have that, and I was like a as you tell the story, I was just like a little dork going around at that very first pastor's conference, going to guys like Bob, who's in my circuit. And I said, "Hey, you want to meet with me?"
My mom said I need to make some more friends.
Yeah, it's kind of what it was like. And I was going around, and I went to everyone in the circuit, and it still took months because I think, like Bob said, "Yeah, it's me." And then we meet once.
Bob's
and
like,
you
"I don't
meet.
Need to do that."
Yeah, I already, have no friends. and then a few other guys, and then finally it kind of clicked one time, and we picked a place that we meet every week, and it's just, and now again, so the Bob ended up taking a call, he left, but the guy who followed him at his previous congregation, he's now coming to our group. So I mean, it's, we kind of keep that going. So anyway, what we did was, we set up video cameras in there and recording equipment, and we do not record the whole thing because that would probably get people fired because it's very fun and colorful in there, and there'd be a lot of editing. But at the end, what
record
we do
the
is,
results.
Yeah, we record the results. So at the end, we turn on the cameras and we give a real trisk a quick for those guys that are out there that are preaching every Sunday and they don't have that. The idea is that they get for this small moment, kind of to sit at the table and just, you know, maybe it helps, maybe it doesn't, but they get to hear preachers kind of, you know, go back and forth about a text, about and specifically how they're going to or how they might try to preach this text. And the idea is that that's going to help the conversation even further.
So what I've found since I've moved on and taken this other call is I'm struggling to preach. It used to be I'd go to this translation group, we'd talk, we'd throw ideas around, and the sermons would just
come.
They'd come. I'd be like, oh, this is exactly where I want to go, and I could figure it out. And now that I'm on my own, I'm really struggling with that. So what the craft of preaching is going to help with is, at least initially, guys like me who are struggling to come up with ideas, who need other voices in their head. Otherwise, you're just saying what you want to say every week, and that's not good. This helps sort of the text get in the way, and you have to focus on the text again and hear it from other places. And it really helps you grow, and I think it expands your ability to preach in a very positive way. And I've missed that. And to have this has brought it back a little bit. So I hope it can do that for other guys.
Right. Yeah, that's the hope. Yeah, for sure.
Sorry, the beer system.
Yes.
Just
look at this.
Oh, beer.
This is old Thinky Fellow style. You can hear that. That is not a twist top, good sir.
Paul's got it.
Yes.
Is that yours or is this mine?
No, I want that.
You want this one?
Yeah.
That I just touched the top of. I like the
whatever. Miller Lite. Thanks, Paul. I think I'm going to keep this in the episode.
There I would. Go, yeah. In old Thinking Fellas style. Cheers, gentlemen.
Yeah, so cheers. For everybody listening, I'll tell you what just happened. We just got a round of beers, and we were just able to open those mid-recording. This is great. So you guys base it off of sort of that pattern that you picked up. But you also have some other tools on there as well. You have actually professors from seminaries getting involved in this too. How does that come into play?
Yes, so the idea was that we would have guys offering essays, short essays, so, you know, they're blog articles, what they are, but focusing on aspects of preaching. Some hopefully will be actually like hermeneutical kind of, you know, or homiletical reflection, like how can we think about preaching these ways. But some of it's, you know, again, just trying to promote the conversation. Let's keep talking. Yep. Let's keep having these things that they're. So pastors who go to the site would actually read an essay that causes them to think about what it is they're actually doing. And hopefully in that promote, again, more conversation on on the issue as they think about their own preaching and what they're doing, the habits they've fallen into. Are they good habits? Are they bad habits? How do they view themselves as a – what does that even mean? You know, Kolb stuff about, you know, this as translation of culture and stuff. I mean, it's great. Articles are being offered, and I think really beneficial to people.
I emailed this to one of the authors. I said, what we're trying to do is not just craft good sermons, but craft good preachers. Like, we want guys to think about any vocation you have, you want to do well at your vocation. We want these guys to be vocationally competent. And I mean, very selfishly, I don't feel very vocationally competent when it comes to preaching. And so this is the sort of resource I need.
Yeah.
And the last two sermons have been better, so that's
good.
There you go. It's gone well.
Since it's been up for 2 weeks. Yeah. 2 weeks?
Yeah, to hit back. Sermons, I mean, you are getting better. Are you using your own tools?
I know, yeah. I was joking with, I texted Bob last Monday, and because I was using the lectionary notes, and I was looking at it, and I texted him in the middle. I'm like, these are actually really good.
Yeah,
like not just okay, they're really good, very helpful.
So can I ask you guys a question, one that's been asked of me by one of our supporters? How is there a plan to transition this from, or maybe it already has, from, you know, maybe a predominantly tool used by Lutheran pastors to one used by just pastors?
Yes. Yeah, so that, so we've, with our authors, we've tried to make that clear, I think, that this is a, we don't want just in-house kind of language within, you know, LCMS kind of stuff. Those are our contacts and those people. We're seeking out authors who are doing excellent work. in this realm, and that's kind of most important. But on the other end, so that's the author end. So the other end is we wanted that door to be as wide open as possible. Because we're LCMS pastors, that's definitely kind of the first group that's going to probably come in. But we really want to push this as wide as possible. I mean, right now, I guess it's kind of limited, you might say, on, as at least the lectionary notes, on the fact that they're basing it off a lectionary.
So let's back up yeah. for the listeners. A lot of pastors will do thematic preaching, right? So they'll be on a sermon series for 5 weeks, and those 5 weeks are maybe going to follow the path of the cross, or
And this is what
that's probably a pretty good one, but there could be pretty crappy ones too. Ones, yeah. I would say,
if we listen to Paulson's lecture from today, that can become its own sort of law on you. Huh?
So for those that aren't used to any other kind of preaching other than sort of that thematic sermon series time, hearing we're going through the lectionary, they'll be like, well, what good is that going to do me? But two, maybe it's a thought for these guys too that are doing other types of preaching. Say, hey, would it be helpful to think of preaching in terms of following the path of the text?
Yeah, and we've talked about we would like to actually offer thematic series at times, but I mean that all that will come. I think that you can do that, but I hope so. I hope people can see for. Those of us use or operate off of a lectionary cycle of some sort, that there's a great benefit to it, right?
That might even be one of the things, right? Because when we talk about potentially evangelical pastors getting this, if they use a text and not a theme, it may be a text of their choosing, right?
Well, it would be, right? Normally, I would guess.
Yeah, not one that they're, forced into by the calendar or something like that. Maybe even encouraging people to do this because it gets you around to texts that you might otherwise avoid.
Well, and I think it's great that you'll be bringing in some thematic helps too, or series type helps too.
I mean, we have big ideas, I guess. You got to kind of build that base and move forward. I mean, ideally, not only would we like to have kind of thematic stuff, but we would love to ultimately have a membership side to the site where there's actual discussion on sermons happening, where there's a way to evaluate preaching.
More live interaction, more work on the part of the site. So currently it's a free site.
So
even if you call it stage one, that's up now is free. Right. As you move forward, there might become a portion where there's a membership and a fee, what do they call it, pay site?
Pay-to-play.
Yeah, right.
But pay to preach. Stage one will always be free, though.
Right, always, yeah.
Can you guys tell us what the web address is for that? I'll, of course, put it in the show notes for those of us who can't remember.
Well, I got one more thing. I think that one of the things that's kind of been missed out of this conversation a little bit is the name of the website is The Craft of Preaching. Other names were floated, this is the one that we went with. And I think this reflects, Paul, specifically with you, the conversations that you and I have had over the course of the past 6 or 7 years regarding, you view this as your craft.
Yes.
Very much. Think of that in the traditional style of the word, like somebody is developing their craft, they apprentice, they journeyman, they work, they master, all the way up through that. But you view this as your craft. And so the name of the site is very specific. It's very intended the way it is, because this is not something that, you wouldn't expect anybody to come to this site and say, I've already got all this. Anytime you're a craftsman, it's an evolving thing.
Right.
The master carpenter is always learning new techniques. They don't just stop. I'm a master. Well, I stop. Right. I don't need to learn anything new. Sure. No new joints for me. I'm good. That's not how it works in a craft. In a craft, you continually hone your skill and your technique. Yep. And I think that's why this fits. So the website then is?
craftofpreaching.com.
All right.
Ta-da.
There you go. Well, thank you for listening to this episode. I just want to take a minute at the end here to say you know, to me, what this reflects is that when you guys, listeners, talk to us at conferences via email and things like that, we're listening. And this was a problem. And this was a problem for us, a hole in what 1517 was providing, that at times maybe we were telling people what good preaching was, but then leaving them without helps towards that or something like that. And we're doing our best to always expand, but expand thoughtfully. And that sometimes that means expanding in quality, and sometimes that means adding things like this. And while that site remains free, we can't do that without help. Yeah. And so we need donors to help support projects like The Craft of Preaching, to keep podcasts like The Thinking Fellows on, to keep Ringside going. And so if you have been impacted by The Thinking Fellows, if you are going to utilize tools like The Craft of Preaching, I highly encourage you to please help with donations. And you can do that by going to 1517.org and clicking the donate button there. Again, these things don't pop up magically overnight. We really do need support to be able to make these happen. We are very thankful for everybody who has supported us from the beginning and for those new supporters. So again, thank you. Keep the feedback coming. Ask us questions. We'll try to get to them. And as always, thank you for listening to this episode, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.